Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I love that a 92-year-old female sports fan is calling into this radio show. And I love even more that I say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And she goes, I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to survive it. Brian Lindgren is the offensive coordinator at Oregon State. These are weird times. How's your life going, Brian?
It's been strange. It's been strange, yeah. Definitely a different June for me than it typically is.
The time that coaches have had off, because football becomes a 12-month thing if, you know, no pandemic hits. It's a year-round thing with recruiting. You barely have time to blink. Has the time off, do you think, been good for people? Have you had a chance to step back?
For me personally, it's been pretty nice. I mean, usually we just spend so much time April, May, traveling during spring recruiting. It's given me a lot of time. I mean, been still making a lot of recruiting calls and Zoom calls, but giving me a lot of time to, you know, study our stuff from last season, some self-scout stuff, and then really focus on some upcoming opponents.
When you watch the stuff from last season, you guys were so close to being bowl eligible. Is it, as you're watching it, or do you get a feeling in your gut like, man, we were like a yard away, or we were one possession away from being a bowl-eligible team? Or what are you looking at? Is it more inside football that you don't really have time to think about the big picture?
It's a lot of inside football, but, man, it's frustrating. I mean, frustrating but exciting, I think. Frustrating that we were so close. I mean, there were really three games. I mean, we were, I think, 7 points away from being an 8-win team. So frustrating there, but exciting, I think, as you look at the big picture of the program and where we're headed. I think we've got, you know, a giant junior class, a lot of guys coming back, and a lot of talented players in the program. I think everybody's excited for the future.
Is there one game in particular that you go, that's the one that got away? And I think I asked Jonathan Smith this, and he was torn between the Hawaii game and the Washington State game. But is there one for you that, from the offensive side of the ball, you go, that's the one, I just like to have a series back?
I'd like to have both those series back. And it's kind of funny, you talk about, you know, one of our folks on offense is like closing games out. And in the Hawaii game, we had a chance on offense to go win it in the 2-minute drill. Couldn't get it done. And then in the Washington State game, we had the ball and we had to get one more first down. I think it was like fourth and four, and couldn't get it done. And we knew kind of if we gave the ball back to their offense, they were rolling pretty explosive, that we were going to be in trouble, and they went down and closed it out. So, yeah, both those were pretty frustrating. I don't know if I could pick one.
I think it's going to be a big year for you guys. I do see bowl eligibility for you. I think it lines up. I like, you know, what you guys are doing on defense. And I have faith that on offense that you guys are going to figure out with a new quarterback and without Isaiah Hodgins how to move the ball. Are those the biggest question marks? I mean, is it who's going to play quarterback, or what can you get out of Tristan Jebbia, and how do you replace Isaiah Hodgins, or is it different?
Yeah, those are big. I mean, you know, those are big. We've definitely got some challenges to work through. You know, those guys were obviously pretty talented players. I think O-line, too. I mean, we lost three starters on the offensive line, and Blake Brandel, our left tackle, had played, you know, a lot of ball for us. And Gus Lavaca and Clay Cordasco, those are three starters. So we've got a lot of question marks right now, and that was frustrating not being able to have spring, you know, to see. But we've got some talent, you know, moving forward, and I really like, you know, I really like what Tristan brings, and I think we got more speed at receiver. You know, we not necessarily have the size or the reliability of Hodgins, but some speed on the outside that we haven't had since I've been there.
We're talking to Brian Lindgren, the offensive coordinator at Oregon State. Tristan Jebbia is not physically as big as Jake Luton, and you know, I like Jake as a college quarterback, but he's different. How is he different, and what unique things does Tristan do that you hope to take advantage of?
Yeah, definitely, you know, doesn't have the size or arm strength that Jake, but he can still spin the football and you know, really accurate passer. I think the thing that Tristan that I really love about him is his competitiveness and his. I mean, he's a guy that's like one of those gym rats that's always around the facility. He just loves ball, loves being around it, and so I think we'll be able to throw a little bit, you know, more at him, put a little bit more on him mentally, you know, than we did. Not necessarily to take anything away from Jake, but put some more mentally on Tristan. You know, he's capable of handling that. And then he's a little bit more mobile. You know, I wouldn't say he's a true dual threat guy, but I think he's going to be able to extend some plays and go get some first downs with his legs that we hadn't, you know, didn't have with Jake.
I was impressed with him in the Civil War because I thought hostile environment, you know, nobody really, we didn't know he was going to play. I don't think Oregon knew he was going to be the starter in that game. And he came out and he kept you guys in the game. And I think, you know, it was a good test for him. What did you see in that game that you liked?
He just didn't blink. I mean, he really didn't. It was a really tough situation. You know, you're going into rivalry game on the road against one of the best defenses in the country. You know, and he just hadn't played a lot of ball up to that point. And so, I just think he didn't blink, man. The stage wasn't too big for him. He just went out there and you know, he did a lot of good things. You know, he moved the ball, and we weren't able to put up as many points as we would have liked. But, you know, shoot, I thought statistically he did some good things and you know, gave us some chances.
You made Oregon a little nervous. I think you guys had the ball there at the end, and if you don't turn it over, you guys were moving the ball a little bit. I think Oregon was going, okay, we need to stop this game. So I think it's something to build on. We're talking to Brian Lindgren, the offensive coordinator at Oregon State. You mentioned the offensive line. Can you speak a little bit about some of the candidates or what you need out of that group? Who do you need to step up?
Yeah, you know, I think you know, anytime you lose three starters and guys that play a lot of ball and you know, we've got the first guy that comes to mind is Brandon Kipper, and he started at right tackle for us. And I like Kip, big guy that can bend, athletic. We're still kind of trying to decide if we want to put him on the left side or the right side. But he'll be kind of the anchor for us. Noose, our center, comes back. And I think anytime you get your center back, and I think that's huge just for getting in the right calls. And then Nate Eldridge, that transfer that we had from Arizona, was kind of, you know, banged up, played a little bit for us, but was injured. Hopefully this time off has allowed him to get healthy. If he can stay healthy for us, I think that'll be huge because he's played a lot of Pac-12 ball. And then we've got some young guys, man, that we feel like we need to step up. Jake Levengood, Onesimus Clark, Josh Gray, all these guys that we feel good about. They just don't have a lot of game experience. And, you know, unfortunately, again, that was, you know, spring, not having a bulk of the spring, you know, just we'll just have to kind of put that off and see where those guys are at it, you know, moving into fall camp.
You've got three kids, if I have this right, Bronson, Brooks, and Blake. What's with the B?
Well, my wife, Brian and Brady, I think, you know, we did, she just liked the name. I know.
Yeah.
She liked the names, the first two, Bronson and Blake, they just happened to be B's, and then she felt bad kind of leaving leaving the little young one, you know, coming. But yeah, I get a lot of crap from the other guys from that stuff. But
I like it though. I like it. You find something that works as a coordinator, you stick with it, right?
That's right.
You know, I always watch and people go, oh, they ran the ball 11 times in a row, and I'm like, did they score? You know, and you stay with what works. Brian Lindgren is our guest. What have the kids been like? What was homeschooling like for you and your household during this time?
It was challenging, though. I felt bad for my wife. She was, you know, we had all three of them really out of the house during the day, so she was able to kind of go do her Orange Theory or her Rush Cycle, you know, whatever exercise thing she was going to do today, run her errands, have a little bit of time to herself, and then she gets stuck with the three kids and me back in the house.
Yeah.
But so the yeah. There were some challenging times, but it was, you know, it was good for me being back around the kids. Shoot, I've been around the kids more in the last, you know, 2 or 3 months than I have probably in a long time.
I think the same thing. Like, I have 3 daughters, and I feel like I'm spending more time with them. And yeah, they're kind of looking around going, I miss my friends and I miss school. And I'm going, you know, I think we might look back on this time, or at least I will, and say this was good for me to see more of them.
That was, yeah, it was. But they definitely thought it was kind of, you know, me being around and then, you know, them being around at the same time. It's kind of like, hey, we're on summer vacation. And it was like, yeah. you still have some work to do. So does Dad.
Jermar Jefferson, I get a lot of questions about him. He had the big year in 2018, 2 years ago, 1,380 yards. Step back a little bit. Yeah, I know he missed 3 games last season, but what do you need out of him in this next season?
I think just consistency, you know, and him, you know, obviously staying healthy. You know, I think that was a struggle for him. But I think consistency in that, you know, sometimes I think at times last year he was always trying to make the big run. You know, and he would, instead of taking, hey, putting his foot in the ground, getting vertical and getting us maybe the run, was that in that instance was just a 3 or 4 yard gain. And I think for him, just realizing, hey, there's going to be some of those and I don't have to turn it into an 80 yard every single time I touch the ball, because he took some negative runs and just lost a little bit of his rhythm, you know, at times. And it was also because I think Artavis Pierce was, you know, he was playing really well for us. And I think the year before, AP was injured and Jermar was just able to be in there all the time. And it's just tough when you got 2 really talented guys to get both of them kind of going and get them in a rhythm.
Yeah, I think that's a tough thing because if you, you know, you want to give them both opportunities, but if running back needs to get that rhythm. How, you know, explain that to people who don't understand getting a guy in rhythm, or even a quarterback. I've talked to coordinators who say, look, you want to come out and you want to get your quarterback comfortable. You want to get that running back in rhythm. What are we talking about there?
I just think get into the flow of the game and you get, you know, you get used to seeing how some of the blocks are, you know, the blocking schemes are developing, and you're getting to run a couple of the same runs, you know, multiple times as opposed to just being thrown in there. And you got one run and one play, and then you're out of the game or you're pass protecting. It's just, I think, just getting into the flow of the game and settling down. I think it just, you're not thinking so much, you know, you're just kind of reacting. And I think when you're getting into the flow of it, I think that happens, and I think you play better.
Is there a danger in this time of, you know, the coaches who haven't had access to players, you didn't have spring, is there a danger of overdoing it in film? Is there such a thing as too much film?
Coaches, no. We said no, but I think so. I, you know, and we, shoot, we've been able to meet with these guys on, you know, doing Zoom meetings. We've kind of backed off the last couple of weeks. The guys had finals going on, but we've spent a lot of time on meeting with them through, you know, really after what would have been spring football. I think the most important part right now is those guys kind of getting back and getting themselves into physical shape, you know, and spending time with our strength coaches and going that direction. But I think you've got to be, there's a fine line there. You want to make sure that they're prepared mentally, but I don't think you want to, you know, burn out, you know, because the season can be, you know, can be pretty long sometimes.
Brian Lindgren, our guest, Oregon State offensive coordinator. All right, away from football, are you binge-watching something? Are you taking bike rides? What's Brian Lindgren doing to keep his sanity?
I'm running a lot, man. I've been trying to get up in the morning and go for my run. And then doing a little bit of golf, too. I've logged more rounds this this spring than I have in a long time with the golf courses being open. It's been a way to get up and get outside. And then, no, we've been watching those 30 for 30s, you know, the Last Dance and then the Lance Armstrong stuff. And that stuff's all super interesting to me.
What do you learn when you watch Michael Jordan in The Last Dance?
Oh, man, I think him is being like the ultimate competitor. And we were talking about it with my quarterbacks, because a lot of those guys weren't even alive when all that, you know, when he was going on. And there's always that debate of like LeBron and, and Jordan. And I don't think those guys, you know, they didn't witness that. So it was kind of cool to kind of see those guys watch it and then hear their, you know, their reaction, man. That guy was the man. I mean, he just was, the way that he competed and held his teammates accountable. I just thought was pretty cool for those guys to see.
Would that fly today in a college football locker room, or does the star player, does he have to be a better teammate and more inclusive and, you know, put his arms around guys instead of being so demanding? I kind of wondered if, you know, all these years later, 20 years later, would that fly?
I think to an extent it does. And I think on the good teams, that type of leadership's still present, you know, and it's just not always in the public eye, you know, but I think in the locker room and, I think when you're on good teams that have strong leadership, I think, there's guys that are very similar, you know, very similar characteristics, to that going on. I think nowadays, you know, you've got to be, you know, those really talented leaders have to be really hard on those guys, but like you said, you know, be able to kind of love them up as well. Kind of a blend of that, you know, make sure guys are bought in, but yeah, I still think it's very present. It's just not as publicized.
I'm excited to see you guys get going. I know you're excited to get guys back on campus, but I really appreciate you making time for us, and enjoy your family here in the rest of this summer. And I hope you get some time with the kids as well.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, thanks
right.
for having me.
Thanks, Coach. Brian Lindgren, there he is, Oregon State's offensive coordinator. Love that. Love getting to know him a little bit, letting you get to hear him a little bit. If you're an Oregon State fan, tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. Tell me what you thought of that. Tell me what questions come up after that. I'll follow up with Coach Lindgren as well. But if you missed any of that, grab a podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud. I was going to say iCloud. Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get a podcast, you can get the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Leave it here. Good stuff. Good first hour. Almost in the books. Let's put the punctuation point on it with our big splash.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash.
Well, we heard Eric Revenoe, the assistant basketball coach at Georgia Tech, on this very radio show talk about his idea to start a movement to designate Election Day, November 3rd, as a day off from athletics. He pushed the NCAA. A whole bunch of universities jumped on board, and now the NCAA is encouraging schools to designate November the 3rd, Election Day, as a day off. They want players to vote. I think it's about more than just voting. It's about understanding your civic duty, maybe educating yourself, maybe just placing some importance on what should be important. But a fist bump to Eric Revenoe, the former University of Portland men's basketball coach, who's doing a good thing nationally. Good for Rev, good for student athletes, good for our democratic process. The NCAA, good for you. They stop short of mandating it. They're just encouraging schools to designate Election Day as a day off. And there it is. That's your big splash. It's the one thing that you need to know today. We do it every day on the show. Coming up in the next hour, we had Petros Papadakis on the show earlier in the week. We've got his dad coming on the show. Former USC linebacker. He was there the day that Sam Bam Cunningham ran wild on Alabama football and Bear Bryant and forced SEC schools to integrate 1 yard at a time. John Papadakis made about 15 tackles in that game. His name was all over the stadium, PA announcer. He played for USC. He'll join us. He's also known as the singing linebacker. He hosts concerts and performs all over Los Angeles and Southern California. I'm told he's a character. He's coming up top of the hour. I'm excited about having him on the show. If you missed earlier, it's going to be Dr. Phil Knight at the University of Oregon. Dr. Phil. They're bestowing Phil Knight coming up here on June 20th with an honorary doctorate degree. It's the highest honor that a university can give to a alumni or a booster, and Phil Knight's getting it. Sabrina Ionescu will be the commencement speaker. It is a virtual graduation, meaning that if you want to hear Sabrina Ionescu, you can join that virtual graduation. I linked to it in my column on Oregon Live. You can check it out. I tweeted it out. Should be following me anyway on Twitter, at John Canzano BFT. Make sure you're following. You'll miss nothing if you're following. All right, coming up, we'll have John Papadakis on the show. The former USC linebacker will be joining us. My wife will be joining the show later. We'll talk about a baseball card collection that is going to be auctioned off for millions. And we'll talk about rude human behaviors later in the show as well. But we've had a great hour here. I love the interview with Brian Lindgren in particular. Coming up, if you grabbed the podcast, so that if you missed any of it. But coming up, John Papadakis will be joining us, the singing linebacker. Now, the Bald-Faced Truth is broadcast statewide, and I appreciate everybody in Eugene who's listening, everybody in Klamath Falls who's listening, and, of course, people in Portland. But we have an action-packed hour in front of
us. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.